in Jesus' day, when he came, there was no room for him in the end. And so we need to say, God, make room for us in our heart. Like the songwriter said, let every heart prepare room for him. Because I believe we'll prepare room, he'll come. And so last week we looked at the life of Mary, how we looked at who are the people that had a visitation from God. How did they prepare themselves for his presence? And this morning we're going to look at the angels. We saw in Mary's life, the Bible says that because God, he comes to the humble, because she humbled herself. The Bible, she was a woman who walked in humility. I believe that God walks with the lowly. And it also says that those who fear him, the Bible says in Psalms 85, the Lord is near to those who fear him. And then we looked at the fact that God satisfies the thirsty and he filled the hungry. How many of you are hungry this morning? Well, that's about five of you. Amen. Praise God. If you're hungry this morning, I want you to know God wants to satisfy and he will fill our lives if we're hungry. But there has to be a thirst in our lives. So I'm reading at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. If you turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And I want us to look at the example of the shepherds. We're going to look at three things, I believe, that prepares us for his presence. Amen. That opens the door for the presence of God in our lives. In Luke chapter 2, I'm reading at verses 8. The Bible says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is Christ the Lord. I want you to know that Jesus, he didn't just come 2,000 years ago. How many know he still desires to come and show us his presence? How many are glad that a Savior has come? I want you to know that the reason why we can have light in our darkness is because of the fact that Jesus has come. But I want you to know that Christmas is not just about being traditional, that the fact that he came. Isn't it beautiful, all the decorations and how everybody decorated? Let's just give a applause to those who decorated. They did a great job. But I'm always mindful that God wants, he's an ever-present help, and he wants to come now. There are people who are going through things that they need a touch from the Lord. And I often say the reason why we need to prepare our hearts for his presence, because sometimes the Jesus that some people only see, we're to reflect him. How many know now that Jesus lives in us, we to be the carriers of his presence. How many know he lives in us? He's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And how many know he wants to move through our lives? So how can we create room? How can we prepare our hearts for more of him? I want to look at three things we can draw from the shepherds that I believe that will open our hearts and prepare more room for his presence. Luke gives us a story about the shepherds for a reason. And many of you have studied and looked at the Bible, realize that in Jesus' day, the shepherds was often the most overlooked, often the most despised. They were considered outcasts in their day. Isn't it interesting that God often revealed himself to the people that sometimes we would least expect? That sometimes God overlooked the mighty. He overlooked the powerful. You know, I sometimes log on my computer, and I'm amazed at how the world is just so intrigued at the powerful and the rich and the celebrity. But isn't it amazing that Jesus often came for the people that we don't often run after? You know, sometimes when somebody important come to town, everybody want to run so they can get a picture of them. But how many know that a lot of times Jesus is often with the people who we often overlook? And one of the first lessons that I want us to learn, that if we want to experience more of his presence, we must be willing to associate with ordinary people. We live in a culture that seeks out people who are important, celebrities, people of wealth, and people of power. But God often passes over the self-important and he seeks common, ordinary people. Listen to what it says in Romans 12, 16. Live in harmony with each other, and don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Don't think you know it all. I like what the Message Bible says. Listen to what it says in the Message Bible. It says, get along with each other and don't be stuck up. I tell you to turn somebody and don't be say that, but they might hit you. But say, look and say, don't be stuck up. Listen to what it says. He said, make friends with nobodies. Make friends with nobodies. Listen, and don't be a great somebody. Listen, in a world that tends to value people who are rich, who are celebrities, who are superstars, I want you to know we need to always be reminded that Jesus came often for the people who are ordinary, the lowly, the poor, the blind, the brokenhearted, the oppressed, the wounded. This message became real to me this past Friday. I mean, you know, we received two shipments of fresh produce. And I was just, that morning, I was just asking the Lord. I said, God, I want it to be more than just us giving food to people. How do we make it a ministry so that people see Jesus? You know, because Jesus said, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I said, Lord, I really want to see your presence there. And I just had a clear witness in my spirit that the Lord said, Neil, if you'll just love people in my name, they'll feel my presence. And you know what? The amazing thing, we had one of the greatest and one of the best outreaches. And you know, I just purpose to say, God, just help us to love people in your name, especially people who are ordinary people. You know, sometimes the world will often seek out people who want to gravitate in to people who have position and power. But that's not who Jesus came for. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 4:18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. Notice, the people that Jesus came for, often the poor, the brokenhearted, the oppressed, the blind, and the wounded. If we want more of his presence, then we got to be willing to associate with the people Jesus associated with. That's why I want to encourage all of you in the next few weeks, in the next few days, we're going to have an opportunity to minister to people that often sometimes the world overlook. And I believe that if we will do it with a spirit of love and say, God, help me to identify with people. Help me to associate with ordinary people. Help me to have a servant's heart. I believe that when we do that, we open ourselves up to a greater presence of God in our lives. I want you to know that the people who were serving, I looked at, even though that we were tired, we unloaded crates and we gave food, there was a certain joy when you learn to give, especially to those in need. Can I have an amen? And so I want to encourage you this coming holiday, we're going to have an opportunity once a year. We give gifts to all the inmates. There's approximately 200 inmates here in the prison right behind us. I was so blessed. One of the young men who was in line getting food, he said, Pastor Bernard, you know what? He said, I remember when you came, he said, you gave me my first pair of boxer briefs. He said, I'll never forget that. He said, you know, he was grateful that we brought in toothbrush, we brought in socks, we brought in boxer briefs. And he said, you know what, I'll never forget that. And he said, you know what, y'all demonstrated, we were all locked up. Nobody give us nothing during the holidays. But he said, y'all came in the prison and y'all gave us gifts that Christmas. He said, and I'll never forget that. And he said, I want to thank you. Come on, let's just thank God. See, people, let me just tell you, they get a chance to experience Jesus when we're willing to do that. And so those of you that are preparing someone, serving people in need, that's where Jesus is at. If you want to experience his presence, realize that Jesus often associates with ordinary people. And we'll have lots of opportunity. And so we're going to be doing something for their people in our community, many who are out of work, many who are in great need. And we're going to be having opportunities to serve them in many ways, because Jesus taught us that if we want his presence, we got to go where he is. And he is flowing and he is working among the poor, the needy, the brokenhearted, those who are in need of deliverance, those who are bruised. Can I have an amen? Amen. Secondly, here's something that I want to challenge you. Listen, and the Bible says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. I believe another reason why God chose the shepherds is because, have you ever went in the field at night? Some of you shaking your head. I mean, you know, there's no light. There's a certain quietness. There's a certain stillness. I've gone out in the field at night, and sometimes it could be a little intimidating. But imagine in this field at night, there was a certain stillness. What it speaks of the fact that often God dwells with those who are willing to take time to quiet themselves before him. I believe that one of the reasons why God visited the shepherds is because he found a people who were still enough and quiet enough that they can hear him when he speak. Often the word of the Lord comes not in the hustle, in the bustle, but often in the quiet time. Listen to me. I was reading this devotional, and it says, you know, often is when we come to the end of the year, it can be a hectic time. It is far too easy to squander the precious moments of waiting. We know all too well what it is like to arrive on the doorstep of Christmas as another exhausted casualty of our consumeristic age, reacting, organizing, shopping, planning, wrapping, budgeting, stressing, TV watching, stress eating. How many know sometimes if we're not careful, we could allow the busyness of this season to rob us of the stillness and the quietness. Psalms 46:10 says this, "Be still and know that I am God." I believe that one of the reasons why sometimes we lose sight of the presence of God is because sometimes we lose sight of learning how to be still. You know, we lose sight of learning how to wait in his presence. You know, it's amazing how people will get up. They're in lines already around the Superdome. The game won't start until 12. I'm going to get you out here before 12. You heard that, I'm out. I'm going to get you out here. But isn't it amazing how we will get up early to go, but how often, how much are we willing to sacrifice to get in his presence? And I believe that we have lost sight of the importance of getting in his presence. The Bible says in Isaiah 30, verse 15, listen, this is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says, only in returning to me and resting in me, you'll be saved. Listen, in quietness, say quietness, and confidence is your strength, but you would have none of it. How foolish it is when we often seek relief from the things of the world in fleshly pursuits, only to realize that refreshing and presence only comes when we take time to wait and sit at his feet. You know that song says, oh, what needless pains we bear, all because we do not take it to the Lord in prayer. It is when we quietly depend on him that we experience his presence. You remember when God wanted to reveal himself to Elijah? The Bible says that there was a loud wind, but God was not in the wind. Then the Bible said there was a fire, but God was not in the fire. But then that says there came a gentle breeze. I like what the Message Bible said. It came a gentle, quiet whisper. And how many know God was in the gentle, quiet whisper? I've learned, listen, in my almost 40 years of serving the Lord, the thing that I've learned more important than anything is the importance of having a quiet time with God. When I was first married, because I had an hour commute to work and an hour commute, you know what? I cherish that hour's drive that a lot of times on my way going, driving downtown, a lot of times I would just have, I'd put in my Bible, or sometimes I would just have a conversation with the Lord. A lot of times I'd listen to a good message that would inspire me, so that when I went into the workplace, I began to sense His presence. You got to find a quiet time. You know, when I first came to the church, because it was not quiet at home, a lot of time I would sneak out here, and I had an office here, and I would find a quiet time here. I remember when Angela was having, when we were raising our children, and sometimes she was just wore out having four little ones. Often she said my quiet time was sometimes rocking one of them at 3 a.m. in the morning, and when they would fall asleep, I would have a time with God. Listen, you have to find out what worked for you, but how many of you know, I believe everybody needs a quiet time. Can I have an amen? And in this hustle and bustle world that we live in, if we're going to experience the presence of God, we're going to have to learn how to find a quiet time. I'm grateful when all my kids move out, I have now a little office space that's 5x8. Oh, yes. Isn't it good to get rid of them? But I have a little office area, and a lot of times sometimes in the middle of the night, if I can't sleep, I'll go in there. Sometimes in the early morning, and sometimes I just sit and I just wait in the presence of the Lord. And it's amazing how that scripture, the Bible says it this way, in Isaiah chapter 40, we know this scripture. It says, "Those who wait on the Lord, they will renew His strength." Isn't it amazing sometimes when we just sit in His presence? I'm getting ahead of myself, but listen, quiet time, Jesus was the Son of God. He had all power, but you know, when He walked on this earth, He put aside His deity, and He lived just like you and I. And if Jesus, being God Himself, if He needed a quiet time, how many of you know we need a quiet time? In Mark chapter 1, put it on the screen, Mark chapter 1, verse 35. I want to read this verse right quick, Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It says, early in the morning, before Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Well, I didn't give them that scripture ahead of time, but I'll read it for you. Mark, they have. I'm gonna just go ahead and read it. It's on your handout. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Listen to what it says. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, He went out and departed to a solitary place where He prayed. The Living Bible, one Bible says He went out to a quiet place. But hear me, is when we willing to sacrifice and find a quiet time. Thank you. Yeah. When we're willing to sometime find a quiet time with the Lord. In the NIV, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where He prayed. You know what it reminds me is that, listen, it often requires a sacrifice. That's why I say, listen, it's not going to be automatic. Life has a way of crowding God out. How many have discovered that? If you allow it, the responsibilities, the hectic pace of life can crowd out a time with God. So you have to carve out time in your life. You have to set aside a time. And I've learned that if you will carve out time to meet with Him, God will show up. One of the reasons why some people are drained, one of the reasons why some people find themselves empty, find themselves weary, is because they do not take time to sit at His feet and receive fresh strength. Matthew 6, Jesus said it this way when you pray, talking about I'm reading in the Message Bible, said, "Hear what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage, and the focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense His grace." How many need more of His grace? How many need more of His power? I'm telling you, listen, every creative idea, Everything that, you know, I can't underestimate, listen to me, you will never be able to get the mind of God for your family, for your workplace, for your situation, if you don't take time to sit before the Lord and get a word from the Lord. I have learned how important it is. Every major decision, every time I've came to a major decision and had to make a major decision in my life, I learned how to quiet myself and get before God, because I've learned I'm not smart enough. How many realize you're not smart enough? I learned I'm not wise enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not I need his grace. And this is the good news. He has promised that if we'll wait before him, come on, he'll give us a word. He'll speak to our heart. It's amazing. Listen, sometimes when we don't have the answer, if we'll just say, God, I don't know what to do. But God, you know, sometimes if we'll just ask, he'll show up and he'll speak to us. And I'm telling you, in the day we're living in, where so many people are groping and searching for answers, we don't just need a word for ourselves. Sometimes we need a word for somebody else. We need to be able to, the Bible says, always be ready to give everybody an answer. You know, there are people who are going through things, and sometimes you need to be ready to give a word for them. And how many know the way you receive that, if you learn to just be still and wait on the Lord, then God will speak to you and he'll give you a word in season. Can I have an amen? Amen. Psalms 127 says it this way. Listen, it is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. But listen, for God gives rest to the ones he loves. Worry and anxiety will rob you of the rest and rob you of the presence of God. If you want to experience more of the presence of God, let me just tell you, the Bible says, don't be anxious for anything. Philippians 4:6. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't be stressed out. Some of you have a tendency to want to try to figure it out. God said, listen, you ain't smart enough. Let me figure it out. Don't worry about anything. Listen, but in everything, say everything. By prayer, let your requests be made known to God. And the Bible says, then the peace of God. Say the peace of God. I don't know about you, but how many of you need more of the peace of God? Listen, then the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your mind and your heart stayed in Christ Jesus. I want you to, there's peace in the presence of God. And lastly, as I prepare to close, listen, if you and I are going to experience more of the presence of God, then we must look with an expectation. Say expectation. Now, this is so important because it talks about the importance of faith. Listen, the Bible said they were keeping watch over their flock. Listen, to watch means to look with expectation or anticipation. In other words, it's like this. When faith prays for rain, it brings an umbrella to work. Come on. I want you to know, you got to have an expectation. I'll give you an example. We decided that, you know what, we had so much food to give away. We said, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had some grocery baskets? I said, Mark, you know what, let's go ask Home Depot if they'll allow us to use some of their grocery baskets. And he said, well, you want to get in the truck? I said, yeah. He said, you want me to bring the trailer? I said, yeah, if we believe in that they're going to answer, we better bring the trailer. Because how many know faith has an expectation? Can I have an amen? Now, let me tell you why that's so important. Sometimes we come to church and we don't have an expectation. Some of you came, you're believing. But I want you to know, God satisfied those who've expected. How many of you came, you're believing God. You know, there's a song by William McDowell titled Expecting. And it goes like this. It says, I'm expecting, anticipating a move of God. He said, I won't be satisfied until heaven invades my life. You know, he said, we've been praying for, we've been longing for a move of God. I want you to know that if you're going to believe God, if you're going to experience more of his presence, then you're going to have an expectation, because God responds to faith. You know, to pray for rain and don't bring an umbrella is a a sign that you're not expecting nothing. It's like if we were, you know, it's like to go ask the people for cards and we didn't bring nothing to carry the cards, we wasn't going to believe that they were going to answer. But you see, we had an expectation that God, you know what, we want to bless these people, but Lord, we need some baskets. And I believe that if we'll bring the trailer, they'll give us the basket. Come on, how many know God answered? Because God responds to faith. But it's a reminder that when you and I come into the presence of God, when we have an expectation, you know, we need to come to church. God, listen, I'm expecting you to do something today. There's a gentleman, he came here for the first time. Mr. Fisher, you still here? I don't know. He came here, and he heard about the church. I ran into him in Walmart. He said, I'm coming, check it out. And so you know what? I don't know what's going on in people's lives, but how many know God knows? And, you know, he came expecting something. People don't just come to church for no reason. They say, God, listen, I need God in my life. You know, he was sharing. He 5 months ago, he had a stroke. He couldn't even talk. He couldn't even walk. But now God raised him up. He can walk and he talk. Listen to him. Now, listen, isn't that amazing? He not only can walk and talk, but the first thing he said, I want to go to the house of God. Come on, let's give God some praise. See, he had an expectation. I believe that if we'll have an expectation, God will move in our lives. So often we pray, but we don't expect anything. Let me read it out of the Amplified Bible, Isaiah 40, verse 31. Listen to what it says. But those who wait for the Lord, listen, who expect, who look for, who hope in him, they will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and they will rise up close to God like eagles rising towards the sun. They will run and not become weary. You got to have, and they will walk and not grow tired. I want you to know, you got to have an expectation. Hebrews 11 says it this way, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can say that without having an expectation, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe. He must expect that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I'm telling you, listen to me. I'm expecting something from God. I believe that we're going into 2020 with an expectation that God, how many believe that the better is ahead of you? How many expecting more? Let me just tell you. I expect more in this coming year. I'm expecting open doors. I'm expecting a greater vision. I'm expecting God to accomplish more. Anybody, you got an expectation? I want you to know, because that's what God responds. He moves to when he can find one person that has a faith, that has an expectation. God will jump over 20 people to find one person that say, God, I'm expecting. God, I'm looking. God, I'm waiting. I'm hungry. And I believe if we'll expect, God will come. What are you expecting God to do in your life? What are you expecting? You don't have to wait till Christmas. Come on, God can do it today. Come on, God can do it right now. What do you want God to do in your life? When we have an expectation, God responds, because faith honors God and God honors faith. I want to close in a word of prayer. And I want to pray this morning. Some of you came here because you're expecting. You're anticipating. You're hungry for something. You're saying, God, I need more, whatever. It's like that Mr. Fish, he came here this morning. He said, listen, God, he recognized that God raised him up from a stroke when he couldn't talk and he couldn't walk. So, God, he wanted to say, I want to come in the house of the Lord. How many know God's going to meet with him today? I believe that God meets with people who are hungry. Anybody in you hungry for more? Anybody came with an expectancy? Listen to me. Sometimes we could be going through a loss and we just need an expectation of God's comfort. Like Sister Althea and Sister Janet. Right now, they're experiencing a loss of a loved one. But how many know if we'll expect he's a comforter, because God says he's the God of all comfort and he comforts us in all our sorrows. And I want you to know, Sister Jan, because you came expecting, God's going to show up. He's not only going to show up in your life, but in your children's life and your children's children's life. I believe that if you have an expectation, if you came here today and the day you say, today, Pastor, that's me. I have an expectation. I want you to stand on your feet. I want to pray. Be prepared to close. I want to pray as we close. You know,